This is Colorful Radio.
Yeah, me say them and dirty. What go on young sinner? Genocide, you know. Or some millions, you know. You know the thing, we say about 30.
Long time.
Gang them. Well, lad.
KMD.
From a little man, I done a road, yeah. Man, I rose, he make mama proud, yeah. What you mean? Man, say cut the bag and sleep in the dollar's out, yeah. Bad mind, why we drop out, yeah. But if I pay for me, got it, yeah. Stay with the matty, yeah. Money and drugs and girls at the topic. Let me live in these streets, my family. Let me live in these streets, my friend. If I pay for me, got it, yeah. Stay with the matty, yeah. Money and drugs and girls at the topic. Let me live in these streets, for the dog, yeah. Let me live in these streets, my family.
We love them, I feel live, so we have to make the cheddar right. Also live a day and also live a night. We no give one task for the haters. Them can't make we stop light, no break lights. In a street like a white line, massacre the clock, none tell them say a overtime. Two wiggles, them enough, I'm pretty like sunshine. Them want we drop on the news where you're prime.
But
time.
If I pay for me, got it, yeah. Stay with the matty, yeah. Money and drugs and girls at the topic. Let me live in these streets, my family. Let me live in these streets, my friend. If I pay for me, got it, yeah. Stay with the matty, yeah. Money and drugs and girls at the topic. Let me live in these streets, for the dog, yeah. Let me live in these streets, my family.
Road deck on, 24/7. Money me I go for some is trap with 11. Stay out and wait, nobody try stop me food car. Me we send you go a LR even like leather, so me heavy in the street. Me not ask no question, me no say you're sweet.
You know,
like cologne, every girl I send me sweet. Money enough, I'm big house, my family in the scheme.
But if I pay for me, got it, yeah. Stay with the matty, yeah. Money and drugs and girls at the topic. Let me live in these streets, my family. Let me live in these streets, my friend. If I pay for me, got it, yeah. Stay with the matty, yeah. Money and drugs and girls at the topic. Let me live in these streets, for the dog, yeah. Let me live in these streets, my family.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Genocide, you know. You know the thing, KND. El Gringo. From a little man, I done a road, yeah. Man, I rose, he make mama proud, yeah. Man, say cut the bag and sleep in the dollars out, yeah. Bad mind, why we jump out, yeah. But if I pay for me, got it, yeah. Stay with the matty, yeah. Money and drugs and girls at the topic. Let me live in these streets, my family. Let me live in these streets, my friend. If I pay for me, got it, yeah. Stay with the matty, yeah. Money and drugs and girls at the topic. Let me live in these streets, for the dog, yeah. Let me live in these streets, my family. But if I pay for me, got it, yeah. Stay with the matty, yeah. Money and drugs and girls at the topic. Let me live in these streets, my family. Let me live in these streets, my friend. If I pay for me, got it, yeah. Stay with the matty, yeah. Money and drugs and girls at the topic. Let me live in these streets, for the dog, yeah. Let me live in these streets, my family.
Colorful,
colorful, colorful. Sonia Polian on Colorful Radio.
There is nothing to lose.
Colourful Sonia Ponian on Colourful Radio.
Welcome back to Colourful Radio. This part of the show is called Ordinary People, and as always, I have somebody who is extraordinary sitting right in front of me. But before I introduce her, I'm just going to read out some of her personal statement, right? Her bio. And y'all know I'm not very good at reading, right? Okay. So here it goes. So Paula Perry is a cycle-breaking coach and author who has over 14 years' experience as a project manager, managing multi-million pound budgets across London, where she gained extensive experience in economic regeneration. Before setting up her company, You For Us, Paula volunteered at her local youth club for a number of years and arranged workshops with the aim of increasing life aspirations, confidence and self-belief where the environment did not allow for those characteristics to be normal. So that could be like in your working environment, okay? Right. Her aim was for young people through her communication to believe, no matter their circumstances, that they could achieve their heart's desire by adopting the right mindset. And we touched a little bit on that this morning, right? Through her ability to genuinely relate to their issues, Paula has been successful in impacting adults and young people in the UK and internationally. She is also a voluntary teacher on a Saturday where she teaches Black history. But today we're not here to talk about all of the aspiration and all the other stuff that she does. We're here to talk about her book, right, that she has co-authored with three other people, called Black History: The Black Influences on British Culture from the year 1948 to 2016. Paula, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Sonia. I appreciate being here.
Listen, when I first saw your video, I can't remember if I got it in my inbox or if I might have got it on WhatsApp, or I might have just seen it on Instagram. I think it might have been Instagram. And instantly I was like, yep, I need to get hold of this woman. And you responded quite quickly, because sometimes people don't always read their personal messages on Instagram. So I want to say thank you for answering.
You're most welcome.
Right. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about, just tell us a little bit about Paula, okay? So I know what you do now, but when you left school, when you was younger, what did you aspire to be?
Okay, when I left school, well, actually, I had a bit of difficulties in school, so I was expelled from school at the age of 15. Mm. And it wasn't due to me being a bad child or anything, it was just through to the circumstances of my upbringing. I had a lot of responsibility for my younger siblings. Right. I used to take them to school before attending school. Mm. And I remember going to school and being in assembly, and we had a new headmistress, and I wore a cap to school that day. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, you need to take off that cap. And I said, no, I'm not taking it off. Hair wasn't done or anything. And she said, well, that'll be the last time you'll be attending this school.
Wow.
And that really hurt me, because I liked school, but due to the circumstances, I used to come in late and sometimes have to miss lessons and so forth. Mm. But from that, I remember signing up to a YTS scheme when I was 15, pretending I was 16.
The youth training scheme.
When I was 15, and I completed my NVQ level 1 and 2 in business administration while I was 15, 16. So that led me towards other things that I'd done in my life, but I didn't want to do anything. I always had higher aspirations. Mm-hmm. Although my environment showed me negative things, I always knew I'm going to be raised above the environment that I'm seeing without any direct role models to follow from.
Yeah. Awesome. And so what was your first job then?
My first job was in a major recruitment company in Mayfair. Uh-huh. And I remember I went there for 1 week to do data entry. Mm-hmm. And because of, I could touch type. So how fast I could type, the lady said at the end of the week, no, we want you here permanently.
Wow.
I was 18.
Yes.
And I remember my salary was like £11,000. And then that was a lot of money at 18. Yes. Yeah. When was it? In 19, so I was 18, had shading at 94. It was in 96, 97.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Okay, so how did you get into... Let's fast forward a bit. Okay, so you had your first job. You really enjoyed it. You was very good as a touch typist. Yeah. Not a lot of people touch type these days. Okay. They're not trained. Obviously, you were trained, right? But just jump on a little bit and tell us, you know, what led you into the world of wanting to inspire other people and helping them to achieve their dreams?
Okay, so for me, I've achieved certain things throughout my life by setting goals, by being ambitious, by wanting to be a role model to my daughters. I was a teenage mother, so I wanted to ensure that I set an example to my daughters. So I set goals from quite a young age, and those goals each time were achieved. Mm-hmm. Not realizing back then, you know, there's a lot of goal setting, there's a lot of terminology around things now where it wasn't back then, but I was achieving those things. Yeah. And then it came to mind that sometimes you just need someone to be able to give you that encouragement. Sometimes you need someone who's been through things. Because a lot of time I do go to seminars and so forth, and the speakers are great, but I don't know whether or not I can directly relate to them. And I believe from my circumstances, I can relate to people. Mm-hmm. And my heart desires is to help you be a better person, hence my organization called You For Us, because I believe a better you is a better us, meaning your children, your family members, your peers, and ultimately the wider community. So that's where that came from.
Okay. All right, so let me just ask, hold on, I did have some questions. All right, so tell us a little bit about David Starkey and his how he was compared to.
So David Starkey is a historian who was on the TV, and he was speaking about the Chav culture, and he referred to them a Jamaica gangsterism style. Mm-hmm. And basically, as a historian, he should have known that subcultures have been created from black people and black culture from before the Chav culture. So if we go back to the mods subculture, they were influenced by rock and roll and so forth, and that's what they listened to. Although they had a anti-black gang. Also, the early skinheads were also influenced heavily by
Hell's Angels,
by black culture and music. Even the way
the
early skinheads, even them shaving off their hair, having a parting, they were influenced by the Jamaican rude boy style, the music that they listened to, and so forth. They went to Jamaican clubs and that stuff. So, David Starkey's comments as a historian, he should have already known that white subcultures have been influenced by black culture way before the Chavs.
And not only, I don't want to know about the Chavs, I want to know when they came about, who even created the name. But listen to this now. But I mean, the British went to Jamaica, brought the Jamaicans over here. Did they not think that, hey, you know, we needed to kind of like have some of our cultures in here?
So
the white British went to Jamaica. Remember, in those days, right, it was part of the British colony. So they invited the black people to come to the, not just Jamaica, people from the Caribbean.
Over the Caribbean,
people like David Starkey, did he not feel that, you know, we need to, us, them that was coming here from the Caribbean needed to feel at home, needed to find something that they could identify with, and not knowing that, because even in slavery days, you know, the white men used to have sex with the white, with the black women, they were still integrating from there. Okay, in them days it was rape, right, but they were still integrating from then. The culture was being integrated from way back before then.
I think when the David Starkey should have known that. But I believe when the, in 1948, when the Empire Windrush did arrive here, I believe through the book you'll get this information as well. Although there should have been some form of integration, a lot of white people at the time may have not seen a black person that often, let alone have a black person live next door to them. So hence why there was a lot of prejudice in the beginning from gangs also like the Teddy Boys that were formed that cause harassments to black people who are arriving. So yes, we could have said they were going to Jamaica, they knew of, or the Caribbean as a whole, because it wasn't just Jamaica, because when the SS Windrush came over, the most important people on the ship at the time were the those who came from Trinidad, and they bring Calypso into Britain, and that was the culture at the time. So yeah, they should have been, but however, the prejudice that was about at the time, that's what
so what made you four decide that you want to write this book and get it into the schools in the UK?
So the book was created, so myself and the other authors, Vanika, Anthony, and Robin. Robin Walker actually is a historian and a scholar, so he has many books already in the market. When we ruled, early days, early life in West Africa, and a numerous amount of other books. So he is a historian and a scholar, established one called The Black History Man, and also my mentor. So I'll just say that. However, we teach in Saturday school, Black Studies, and we wanted to create additional content for the students that we teach. We teach K-Stage 3 from 11 to 15, and we wanted to develop additional content. We teach African history, we teach about the empires, creations of African people, what we've created in the past. And we thought, let's do Black British history. And as we were developing the content, we was actually teaching it to the students there and then. It started off as 18 lessons, it developed into 25 and ended into 32. But what we realized is that the engagement the young people were having, how interested they were, and we thought, this is valuable, rich content that needs to be shared with the world. So it is targeted at secondary school students, K-Stage 3, learning material for parents, guardians and teachers, and it's been written in line with the criterias of Michael Gove's national curriculum.
Now I have read the book, but I haven't read it from cover to cover, all right? And you got 32 lessons. I think you should have 38 lessons.
Okay.
And the only reason why I say I think you should have 38 lessons is because there's 38 weeks in a school year.
Okay.
So unless some of these lessons in here can extend a couple of weeks, think about putting a couple
we'll three more in there. We'll take that on board, Sonia. Right? Thank you very much.
Also, I mean, even as an adult, right, and I know, you know, our reading ages are different for everybody, but the lessons in this book here are really, really easy to read. So you read the synopsis and then the activity is not really, really hard. But at the same time, I mean, even I've got information out of here that I didn't know about. And you know, not because I'm not looking for it. I mean, half of the people on the front of the book, I know who they are, right? But it's nice that, you know, our children will be able to know. They may not know all of them, okay? But there's people like Janet Kay, and I'm going to play her track in a minute. There's people like Janet Kay who's still relevant.
Yes.
Frank Bruner, he may not be boxing anymore, but he's still alive. Relevant. There's people who they can identify with. They can go to the internet and look them up and see what they have done, to see if you all are telling the truth about them. Yes. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Right? And even if they wanted to reach out to them, the possibility is there because these people are still alive. I don't know anybody... Well, actually, hold on. Who's this lady here?
That's Claudia Jones.
Okay, she's deceased, right? Okay.
Yes.
So there are a few people who are dead, but there are a lot of people in this book who are still alive.
Yes.
Seriously. All right. So how did you decide? How did the four of you meet, as a matter of fact?
So the four of us met at CSEP in Croydon, which is the Croydon Supplementary Education Project. It is where Saturday school is held. We've done...
She's from Croydon, guys. She's from Croydon. They are from Croydon. Okay, so big up to Croydon.
We've done courses there on Black Studies there also. And we are students of the Black History Man, Robin Walker. So that's how we all formed our relationship in the beginning. Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay. Well, we're going to just take this short music break. And I'm going to be playing Janet Kay, who is mentioned in this book called The Black British History. So just so that you know, her music is still around. So, Silly Games by Janet Kay. Big chill! That was Janet Kay and Silly Games. Welcome back to the show. This part of the show is called Ordinary People. I'm joined in the studio today by an extraordinary, extraordinaire lady called Paula Perry. Paula and four of her colleagues decided to get together. My parents would say, two heads make better than one. So the four heads got together and decided that they were going to do something to change the environment, to change their environment, to change the community and ultimately change the lives in Britain, not just for black people, because, you know, there are other cultures that go to school. And a lot of times in the school, you know, we learn about Diwali, we learn about the Chinese Christmas and all the other celebrations and festivals that other cultures have. But when do they actually celebrate or teach about the black Caribbean culture? All right. Yes, we do have in August, we do have the carnival, which has been going on for, you know, over 30, 40, 50 odd years, something like that. OK, and it has played a major part in society. I mean, people, when you go to carnival, it's not just black people. You see all sorts of cultures there. All right. But what's happening in our schools? What are our children being taught? When I was at school, we was been talked about the Aztecs, the Romans, who were the other people? Stone Age, okay, right? But we wasn't actually being taught about black culture. A couple of months ago in Brixton, we had the memorial for the black people who actually literally lost their lives fighting for the European countries, right? They left their home, their land, their houses, their family, right, to come and fight for the British, Europe, for the British, okay, and lost their lives, all right? And in all these, when was the World War One? 1940, whatever, or 1930, whatever, I can't even remember now. And we've literally just this year received recommendations and people have been honoured for it, all right? So all this is a step in the right direction. So Paula and her three colleagues have got together and they've written this book, Black British History, so that our black children, but it's just not specifically for black children, but our children can learn about the black culture. You only have to look in the music industry, for example, right? How black culture is literally dominating the market. Mm-hmm. Seriously, you know, once upon a time, it was the Beatles, it was Lulu, it was, you know, and all, Cilla Black.
And those artists were also influenced by
black people, black culture.
Yeah, but by black culture, the way they sung, so forth, for example.
Exactly.
Yeah, the Beatles, for example, were mentored by Lord Woodbine. Mm-hmm. He was one of the Trinidad Calypso artists. Mm-hmm. He was one of their mentors. He's also known as the Missing Six member of that group.
Oh wow.
So that's interesting. Yeah. and something we bring about in the book. But what you were saying about the school system, Sonia, it's the book is a book for all British students. Mm-hmm. It's a book that could potentially revolutionize the way British students are taught about black British history. Yeah. Because there's information in here for all British students to know, especially the young black students in schools that are taught. I'm sure things that are being taught now, I was taught, my mother was taught, my grandparents were taught, and it's not really changed. So there is a lot about slavery, there's the American civil rights and so forth. So even the civil rights, the American civil rights, we're taught about Rosa Parks and the bus boycott, which is very, very important and vital. But we had a gentleman named Paul Stevenson. Mm-hmm. He was a black youth worker who was inspired by Martin Luther King and led a bus boycott in Bristol here in 1963. Mm-hmm. And I've never heard of that before. Mm-hmm. That's something that should be taught in school because that's relevant. That's in this country.
Do you know what? I didn't even know about that until I read it in your book.
Wow, there
okay?
you go.
The black bus boycott was because they refused to employ black to work on the buses. And now if you look on the buses, I mean, Paul Stevenson stood up for a right.
Yes.
Right? And I don't know, is he still alive today?
Yes.
He's still alive today. So what he stood up for, the boycott that he initiated, right, it didn't go in vain. Because look now, he's opened the door. You know, there are giants that came before mm-hmm. us that has opened many, many, many doors for us.
Most definitely. Mm-hmm. And there was the colour bar that had... the colour bar, like in Oxford Street and Regent Street, where they wouldn't allow black people to be in front of house. Right. You were allowed to work at the back. And that the lady who led that, which is in a book, because I'm not going to say all names, because I want you to purchase the book and you can find out their names. And she led another campaign that led to the Race Relation Act of 1968. Mm-hmm. So there's important people, important times mm-hmm. in our political struggles and so forth that led to major things happening in this country. And I believe, and we all believe, that these are things that our young people in this country should know about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about Valerie Amos.
Okay. So Valerie Amos is a lady who was the first black female to be a member of the cabinet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a member of the cabinet. She's very, very vital. She was also the first lady to be president of a university as well. Mm-hmm. So she's very, very important. And you'll find out a lot more about her mm-hmm. in the book also.
Of course, got right about. Yes. So for people who want to purchase the book, because I think every household should have.
I believe that
book.
Too.
Just tell them how they can get in contact.
So you can purchase the number one bestseller. You can purchase the number one bestseller on Amazon. The book is £12 and it is available on Amazon. If you're at an event and you see myself and my fellow authors, each of us also have copies of the book that you can obtain the book from also, but the main, it's a number one bestseller on Amazon.
Okay. So in collating the information to create this book, right, how did you decide on who was going to be in the book? Because there are so many black people who have made a tremendous value to history. How did you decide on who was going to be in there? And did you have arguments about it?
It was slightly difficult, but I think the key thing that we done on each topic, we chose the key people who contributed to each topic of the book.
Yeah.
So for example...
Well, how did you choose the topics then?
The topics came around, we threw ideas out and we looked at it because the book is in a chronological order.
Yeah.
So that's how we came up with the subjects and what happened in different time periods. Mm-hmm. So you go through the book narrates 70 years of music. So starting from Calypso, ending with Garage and Grime. Mm-hmm. So there's a load of music that's come in between. So you have Rocksteady, you have the reggae years, you have the Lovers Rock, the creation of Lover Rock, which was the first UK creation music that was created by black British people. Mm-hmm. And then we go through, narrate 70 years of the political struggles. Uh-huh. So it goes through an order, and then we chose the key people in those eras.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So when it came to the actors and actresses, because there's loads of them, how did you decipher, you know, who was going to get which spot?
So for instance, Rudolph Walker, he was the first person to be on a television program. So he was vital. Patrick Truman. In EastEnders, so that was very important. Uh-huh. And then we chose a few others.
He was the first black. What about Sidney Poitier?
Britain on a television program
Britain. Okay,
yes, in
okay,
series,
okay,
yes.
Okay.
So that was key and crucial.
Mixed Blessings, I think that was called. Yeah, Mixed Blessings. All right. And he's still on our screens
still
today.
On our screens
so
today.
What year was that then? That was in the '70s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think I was going to say, I remember watching that as a little child anyway. And then there was Carmen. Carmen wasn't in there. I can't remember. Is it Carmen Monroe?
Carmen Monroe. Yeah.
So she was in, is it No Problem? I can't remember. But She was also an actress.
But yes.
Yeah, there was in a different... Or were they... They weren't husband and wife, were they? Mixed blessings. I can't remember. But anyway, but these people are still alive today. And
they are.
And Patrick... Patrick, his name is Rudolph Walker.
Yeah.
He's still on TV today on EastEnders. So you children will be able to identify with him.
Oh, the programme Rudolph Walker starred in was Love Thy Neighbour.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Love yeah, Thy yeah, Neighbour. Yeah, 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 yeah. Honky and
he
Sambo.
Was, yes, and yeah. He was the first black character to appear in a major British TV series.
Right, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, first black character. And he's still out there today.
He is.
All right, let's just take this short music break and we'll be back after.
Colorful radio.
At the mall, couldn't find a place to park. Threw my keys to the valet and left for me. I was only there to hang, wasn't looking for a thing. I was just about to bounce. And then I saw Miss Lady. Then I said to myself, was coming at the shoe store, pretty little thing, a couple of bags in her hand, right in front of Macy's, that's where the pretty girls hang. Then I saw her at the food court, sipping lemonade, conversating on her cell phone, looking so amazing, and I said to myself, take her to the cookout.
Yeah,
take her to my mama's house.
Be funky in there.
If she need her hair done,
see my cousin Cam.
I'll treat her like a queen, give her everything.
She will be my girl till we old and gray.
And I knew it from the moment that I saw her lovely, lovely.
Colorful.
Sonia Polian on Colorful Radio.
And that was Charlie Wilson with There Goes My Baby. Now I'm joined in the studio today by Paula Perry. She is a joint co-author of the book Black British History. And I must mention the other people. I know we have mentioned them several times, but because she's a co-author, she co-authored this book with Robin Walker, Venica Marshall, and Anthony Vaughan, who I'm sure some of them are listening in right now. So, congratulations to all four of you for putting your foreheads together, not becoming a snake, but putting your foreheads together to bring out... To bring out this book, which is well designed, well thought about, and the pictures, even though they're not in colour,
yes.
Okay, they do. You know, they are very. Every it's picture powerful. Is telling
yeah,
a story.
Yeah. Having a picture yeah. appendix was very important because, as you said, it does bring it to life. You actually yep. see in images
and
from
also,
what's going
like,
on in the book.
Children are very visual as well.
Most definitely.
But one of the things that I read in the book that I was surprised about is how influential the black culture has been to the white culture in terms of the teddy boys, the skinheads, the mods. Just tell us, talk us a little bit through that.
So if I talk about the black culture influence on white youth subculture, so such as the mods. The mods was a white British working class subculture dominating in the early 60s. They had a sharp, clean, modern style, suits, ties. And if you remember the Caribbeans that came over, that was our dress code. We were sharp, stylish, and so forth. And one of the biggest influences on the mod subculture was, or their fashion icon was, Prince Buster.
And for our younger listeners, just explain to them who Prince Buster was.
So Prince Buster is a an artist in reggae or ska music. Ska music. The mods listened, their music that they listened to at the time was ska. They loved the Jamaican music, ska. So that was the music they loved.
My older brother, who's in his 60s now, I remember him dancing to that.
Yeah.
Some good
movements. They even had, there's a record, and on the back of the record, it's giving you instructions on how to dance ska. Now, obviously, the Jamaicans who created it and the Caribbeans who were dancing to ska didn't need instructions. So who were the instructions for?
Yeah. For the other cultures.
Yes.
The white folks. Yeah, but I was pleasantly surprised because I remember back in the day when there were teddy boys around, okay, or maybe you call them mods, and the black guys used to try to have a quiff like they did. So I thought that it was the teddy boys who were influencing the black culture, but actually...
No, because the teddy boys listened to rock and roll, and that was their style. And if you remember, so the rock and roll is comes around from gospel, the rhythm and blues, so the American type of music, and that's the rock and roll style. That's where that originated from.
So let's talk a little bit about Patti Boulé, because she used to be on our screens. She's no longer on our screens, but I'm assuming she's doing things in the background, all right? And she is still alive today. So why did you choose Patti Boulé to feature her in the book?
Yep, so Patti Boulé was Nigerian born. She came to London at the age of 16, and she began her career as a West End actress with roles in the musical called Hair and Two Gentlemen of Verona. She's a singer, she's a dancer, and she was a member of a all-girls group. So she had a number of singles out. She was,
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I remember her having like one single or two, something like that, but I didn't know her as a singer. I know her as an actress.
And the reason why she was important as well, because she had a massive impact on black women with her colorful makeup and braids extension at the time. So she impacted a fashion where she had colorful makeup on. Her braids were colorful and so forth. So she had an impact on the fashion fashion of black women at
as
the time.
We're talking about fashion, let's just stay there. We've only got a couple more minutes left, right? But I wanted to quickly touch on, because I didn't know that Katie Price and Daniela Westbrook, I didn't know that they influenced the black culture in any way, shape or form. And then there's Naomi Campbell.
So Naomi Campbell,
right? So she was the first.
Yes, and Naomi Campbell is known as the queen of the catwalk.
Yeah.
Naomi Campbell was recruited at 15, and she established herself as one of the most recognizable catwalk models in the industry. And she was one of the first black women to be featured on the front of Vogue.
Right. One of, or the first?
No, I believe she was the first.
The first.
I know it was Vogue. An European Vogue magazine.
Okay,
yes,
I'm not sure which.
I can't remember at the top of my head which, but she was definitely one of the first models to be featured on the front of Vogue.
Okay. So there are so many different people in this book here. Is there anything in particular that you wanted to actually elaborate on?
I believe the book covers a number of different topics, from mainstream cultures to sports to art, textiles, literature, drama, and politics. So the book covers a vast range of topics with key influential people within it. It's very, very important for our young people to have positive images that they can relate to and they can also inspire to. So a lot of the mainstream press is negative when it comes to our young people. And this is an opportunity to show that there is positivity out there. Mm-hmm. So for example, there's a lady who people may not know, but the lady who is the key midwife for the royal family, who's delivered the royal family babies, is
a lot of the royal family babies.
Is a black lady, and you can find out her name in the book, Black British History, Black Influences on British Culture from 1948 to 2016. So it covers modern black history, because I don't want people to, there is black people in this country pre-1948, so we're not saying just now, but we're focusing on modern British history in this book.
Okay, cool. All right, so what about, I'm not bothered. So one of the things that I really, really wanted to ask you is, I know you didn't invent this, okay, but you might know the answer. Who invented the word chavs?
I'm not sure who actually...
David Starkey?
Yeah. I'm not sure who actually invented the word chav, but what Dave Starkey was coming across with that, there was a lot of white youth that were mimicking a different type of culture and being influenced by
black people.
I think that the way they dressed, the music they listened to, I think the only originality might have been that the Burberry style. So, you know, I'm really not sure why they picked on Burberry, but yes, so they were heavily influenced as well by, again, in modern times, black culture.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but I think, you know, no matter what, I mean, we're closing down now, right? No matter what, wherever you are, you know, you as a human being, if you go to another country, there's going to be somebody who you are going to influence. So I think people to come in together and learn, I like to learn about other people's cultures. I travel all the time. I want to know about the culture. I'm not just going to go there for the sake of going.
There's an interest.
So, you know, and then we start to adopt things, you know, look at the music industry, look at the dress.
Could you imagine at the time, like, for instance, the early skinheads, how they were dressing, then they would have been going home and their parents would have been like, oh my gosh, what's happening to my child? He's shaving off his hair. He's got a parting in there. We've never seen that, because that's not naturally how your hair grows and cuts. But the Jamaican rhubarb style that they were mimicking had the parting. It's actually come back around now, the parting as a style. And different foods they were eating, because you would have been at your friend's house and you would have been offered dinner, you would have been eating rice and peas, and you would have gone home and said to your mum, I've just eaten, you know, oxtail or rice and peas. And I went,
what the hell is oxtail? Do you know that the Jamaican food, right, has been, they've done a survey.
Yes.
And it's the second most eaten food in the world. Wow. Yeah. Do you know what number one spot is?
What's number one?
Burgers. Americans with their burgers.
Right, burgers.
Right, so listen, we've come to the end of our time together. I want to say thank you very much, Paula. Thank you for all four of you for getting together. Because every time I show this book to somebody, they're like, yeah, I've got to get it, got to get it, got to get that book. You know, and I just give them the link and they go onto Amazon and they purchase the book. You know, so I come from a large family, right? Most of my nieces are like, yes, auntie, I've already got it. I'm like, get this for your kids. Because these are now my grandnieces and nephews, because their children are still at school. And it is important for our children to know about where we're coming and to recognize,
definitely
to recognize that, hey, this is us, our people done this.
Yes. I just definitely want to say thank you for having me on the show, Sonia. And we all would like to thank every single person who has supported the books thus far. There's been so many shares over the social medias. There has been also some celebrities who have purchased the book, so we are
Stormzy!
Great for that. Murky. But we're grateful for each and every one of you who have supported the book so far, who have shared it. So we are very grateful. Awesome. Definitely grateful.
And just remind our listeners again, if they want to purchase the book, how they can do that.
So if you want to purchase the book, the number one bestseller is available on Amazon. The price is £12 and you can purchase it there.
And
the book is called Black British History, Black Influences on British Culture from 1948 to 2016. Get that book. It needs to be in every single home in the country.
Amen, amen, and amen. So listen, guys, that's it for me for now. I'm back in the hot seat. Today was a little bit of a, I can't call it a missing hit. I felt a little bit nervous today, believe it or not. And some people have been sending me messages saying, you know, where's my greetings? But you know what? It's my first day back in like 4 months, all right? So next week I will be banging. I'll be on form. So listen, keep it locked into Colourful Radio and I will catch you same time, same place next week.
Yeah, ladies, I know you're tired of the same old thing. Things have become so mundane. I mean, your bedroom is just so cold. It's so cold, but I'm here to tell you, I got a strategy. We about to heat it up. Come on. One ain't two when you're with me. C A after A and B when you're with me. It don't make sense right now, but it will. Later on when you see how I make you feel. Regular ain't in my vocabulary. When it comes to love making, neither is missionary. Positions, girl, pick one. Better yet, some. Never mind that, we trying all the fun. So girl, be comfortable.
This is Colourful Radio. This is Colourful Radio.